Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back Brandon Wheel to the podcast. Welcome back, Brandon.
Good to be here. This is number three, I think.
I believe it is. We've talked about KPIs and something planning and scheduling, if I remember correctly.
Planning and scheduling. Yep.
Excellent. So for those that may not have listened to those two past episodes, you are currently the Director of Operations at Iridicio. Prior to that, you spent some time consulting in maintenance and reliability. And prior to that, you learned all about maintenance and reliability in the U.S. Nuclear Navy. You're a CMRP. And did I miss anything big from your bio that you want to cover?
No, that about covers it. That's the quick version.
Perfect. So how long have you actually been involved in maintenance and reliability programs?
Yeah, so joining the Navy pretty much right out of high school. That was in, I think I went to boot camp around August of 98. So we're looking at 20 years here. And after boot camp, you know, getting involved with the nuclear power program here in Charleston, actually, the South Carolina, that's where the training program is. So, you know, spent some time training here as a student, learning all about operations, maintenance, and then heading to my ship, spending some time on the ship, and then coming back and finishing out my tour as an instructor here in Charleston. So right after that, just jumped right into consulting, training, and spent, you know, a lot of time on various sites. So we're looking at, close to 20 years here.
So it's fair to say over those 20 plus years, you've seen some maintenance management programs, probably some good ones and some bad ones, I'm guessing.
Just a couple. Yeah, just a couple.
So in your definition, then, what is a maintenance management program?
It's a pretty broad term. So I just kind of broke it down, you know, using my own words here, but it's really all the parts and the various business systems that come together in a, you know, what I'd say hopefully cohesive way to ensure that we're really maximizing the capacity of our assets. So when you say maintenance management program, most people would probably gravitate towards thinking, you know, CMMS, right? Computerized Maintenance Management System, or EAM, you know, Enterprise Asset Management System. But those are really just a very, very small part of a comprehensive maintenance management program. They're just tools, it's just software, it's shells that need to be populated with information and maintained. And it's all of those systems around your CMMS that really, really support it. So, you know, getting my start in the Navy, their program was called the 3M system, which stood for Maintenance and Material Management System. Pretty straightforward. And they were administered using really very few computer systems. It was all paper and files, technical manuals, and even index cards that told you, you know, what the assets were, the isolation requirements, what frequencies these tasks were supposed to be performed on, what the actual tasks were, so like the procedures, you know, what tools you needed, the required test equipment, the materials needed, and what level of qualification was required to do the work, along with capturing the history and effectiveness checks, feedback for improvement, trending, auditing. I mean, all of that stuff together was the maintenance management system. And I think that definition, you know, stands pretty strong, even just outside the Navy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I liked how you touched on the fact that it isn't just a CMMS or an EAM. It's all the business processes behind that actually is the maintenance management program that makes the availability assets realized, such as plan scheduling, materials management, you know, reliability engineering, all those different things.
Yep.
So why do organizations need a structured approach or a maintenance management program or system?
I'm sure you could probably get by without one, but ultimately, you know, not for very long or without a bunch of waste. So it really comes down to ensuring we're doing the right tasks at the right time to ensure that our equipment is operating, you know, when we need it to. I mean, that's the bottom line. All this stuff supports that thought. You know, without this cohesive system that works together, we end up with a bunch of unplanned downtime. We don't meet our production demands. We've got quality issues. If I've got a lot of upset conditions in my equipment and I'm having to get in there and do unplanned work, there's an increased safety risks, you know, associated with that. I may be over tinkering or taking the equipment down more than I need to, which, you know, bleeds back into not meeting our production demands. I might be inducing failures if I haven't really outlined the skills, qualifications, and ensuring that I have a procedure for how to do the work. You end up with skills gaps, excessive material costs, expediting fees, overtime completely out of control, you know, and an unmanageable backlog of work. So just a whole lot of wasted time and dollars.
Yeah, so if we don't have it, we're going to have the really high maintenance costs. We're going to have poor availability of our assets. We're going to have a huge amount of backlog that may never get done, and we'll just continue to create the expectation that the maintenance backlog is a black hole where work goes to die and never comes out of. We'll have those sorts of issues, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I like the black hole analogy. I use that one quite a bit.
Now, if we put in this program, you know, we mentioned some of the reasons why an organization needs a maintenance management program, but what type of benefits should an organization expect when they implement this program?
Yeah, done correctly, the easy one is maintenance cost reduction, right? I'm spending less money to maintain my asset base. You know, I'm going to see that increased production capacity because I don't have as much downtime. As far as the unplanned downtime. And I also, if I've really optimized my maintenance program, I don't have as much planned downtime either. If I'm really, you know, utilizing things like operator care or condition-based monitoring or even some of the newer data analysis, you know, capturing sensor data and trending that, you know, that'll improve my ability to meet those production needs. You know, I mentioned safety earlier. If you're not putting your hands in it as often, and especially when the machine is in a upset condition, you know, after something's happened, I'm more likely to see my safety record improve. You're going to see reduced scrap quality and quality issues that are related to the performance of the equipment. So if the equipment isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing because it's got, you know, an inherent issue with it, you know, that can affect the quality, and even the human side, like improve morale and job satisfaction. You know, if I'm not running around with my hair on fire every day, it's just a better place to work.
Yeah. It's funny how I find in my experience that the correlation between reliability and, you know, good maintenance of the assets does not, people don't realize how that links to quality. If we don't set up the equipment repeatedly or consistently, how do we expect quality to be repeatable and consistent as an output? I think it's vital that, you know, those links are established between quality and safety and all those other things. And having a maintenance management program will allow organizations to really cement those activities and realize all those extra benefits like you mentioned.
Yep. Variation is the enemy, right? Especially when you're talking about quality. And so anything we can do to drive out variation from the system, you know, is going to ultimately have some impact on quality.
Yes, absolutely. Now, within this maintenance management program, what do we typically include? I know you mentioned maintenance and materials management, but what is actually included in a maintenance management program?
So I've got a list. You know, is it comprehensive? I'm sure we could, brainstorm and add to it, but, just thinking through it, the PM program development system, whatever you're using. So like RCM, reliability centered maintenance would be an example of that. So how am I determining kind of what needs to be in my program, based on the equipment and the inherent failure modes? I need a work management system. The birth to death of a work order, including the feedback, including, planning the work, including scheduling the work. I mean, all of that has to work properly, for your maintenance management program to function. Thinking about condition-based monitoring technologies, am I really optimizing my use of PDM technologies to reduce the amount of downtime, planned downtime that I have, and catch failures, higher on the PDF curve. Operator-driven reliability, or some people call it operator care. Do I have operators with eyes and ears on the equipment, looking for problems, and reporting those through my work management system? You mentioned materials management. I mean, if I don't have the right parts at the right time, I'm going to be in trouble. Root cause analysis. Am I driving out repetitive problems that are taking away resources that I could be using to work on something else? And training, right? Am I training my folks? Am I holding them to a standard? And if I'm not, actively investing in training, then I'm going to end up with craft skills deficiencies.
Yeah, excellent. So you covered a wide range of pieces there. Not one in itself is the program. You need everything working together. I'm a big advocate of you need planning and scheduling and materials management to work well, or your predictive maintenance program isn't going to yield a lot of results because you won't be able to implement those findings and those corrective actions before the equipment fails. So it's vital that all these pieces you mentioned work together in a cohesive approach to ensure the availability of the assets.
Yeah, it's a complex monster. One, there's no silver bullet in any of it, right? You need every piece of that. And it'll function for you, on some level, but to take it to that next level, to continuously improve, you're going to have to fine tweak all of those, inputs and outputs from your system.
Yep, absolutely. This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you are doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. Now, what key components are required to make a maintenance management program work, such as leadership, change management? What else do we really need to really make this program work?
I think you kind of nailed it with those two, and maybe they're honestly the two most important. Without leadership and setting expectations of what the maintenance management program should look like and holding people accountable to it, then really does any of the rest of it matter? I mean, if people aren't following the process, you could have the most thought out, the best system in the world, and it wouldn't be worth the paper that it's written on if no one's following it. So leadership is really, setting that expectation, gaining alignment around it, and holding people accountable to it. And if the system is not good, it's broken, it's got an issue with it, then leadership has to be flexible in allowing people to innovate or make changes to that system, and then refreeze the constraints, right? Like, allow the process to evolve, but then also hold people to that new standard. And then change management. I mean, if you're talking about setting up a new program in a greenfield type situation, you're going to have tons of different paradigms and cultures because you've got all these mass hires, right? You've got folks from just all different kinds of backgrounds that are coming into a new facility. So you got to gain alignment, and change management is a huge piece of that. If you're dealing with, a well-established plant that's been there for years and years and years, well, then you've got, just general resistance to change, or people have helped build that program. So now you're asking them to dismantle pieces of it and build something new. Or you've got past initiatives that have come in there and failed. So it's created this flavor of the month mentality. So you're always fighting those.
Yeah, absolutely. The flavor of the month issue is one piece. The other piece with change is how much change is already going on within that organization. If they're already doing a lot of different changes, the capacity to implement additional change is very limited. And as a result, it's going to require a lot more effort to get the maintenance management program to stick. So you need to take all those things into consideration.
Yeah, people have a capacity for change. You're absolutely correct. You got to pick your battles and really think about the speed at which you want the organization to change.
Yeah. The only other key component I may add, and feel free to agree or disagree, is the performance management piece. We need the leadership, we need the change management, but we also need to know how we're performing at any given point in time, not just from a maintenance metric standpoint, but also from an organizational standpoint, whether it's OEE, asset utilization, TEEP, and from a costing standpoint. We need to understand all of that as well. And I think that's where some leadership and some change management comes in as well, is how do we select those right performance measures? How do we make sure we're holding people accountable to them, and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I would agree 100%. I mean, we talked a little bit about this in the metrics podcast, but people need to know kind of where you stand, right? And if we don't have that information readily available to folks, it's harder to make good decisions if you don't have visibility into more of the process. So picking those right measures, I think is absolutely critical. I completely agree with that.
Excellent. Now, in your experience, where do organizations typically go wrong with a maintenance management program?
They tend to compartmentalize and then sub-optimize and then just completely fail to reinforce, aspects of the system. So by compartmentalize, I mean that each function sort of operates as its own little independent kingdom, apart from one another. They've got their own goals, their own initiatives, their own performance measures, like you mentioned, and it doesn't always align with the overall strategy of the system or the other functions. So that leads to process, sub-optimization, meaning that I've got breakdowns in communication. I've got sometimes adversarial behaviors between the departments. So that can lead to the process just not functioning the way that we would hope it would. And then you mentioned the measures. I've got to have the right measures in place. Got to audit the system. I've got to ensure that we're getting the results that we expect. And then leadership needs to go ahead and continue to reinforce the standard, and reduce the variation in how we follow that standard.
Excellent. Yeah, it's holding people accountable, sticking to that standard. And like you said, not having those competing metrics or KPIs. More than once or twice, I've seen that where, even people within the same department are fighting each other because they have opposing KPIs.
Yeah, absolutely. Just really, it's important to create that alignment between those measures and make sure that everybody, is working towards that common goal. And, when I say hold people accountable to the standard, that doesn't mean the standard never evolves either. We end up in this cowboy culture where everyone's out there making changes, trying to do the right thing, but all of those changes in an uncontrolled manner actually ends up making things more chaotic than if we were to pick a standard, stick with it, do it, and then look for improvement opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to understand your current process, hold people accountable to it so you can understand where it's not working, where there's variation, and then revise from there. Whereas if no one's doing it consistently, then how do you really improve?
You don't know what's going on.
Exactly. Now, can this maintenance management program be developed and be successful within maintenance only, or does this have to expand out to operations, engineering, and others to be successful?
You can only get so far if you're just keeping it in the maintenance bucket. So in order for it to be as powerful as it can possibly be, you've got to involve the other departments. You know, we mentioned quality, safety has a piece of that, procurement. I mean, everybody has a hand in that process.
Yeah, I would agree. There's maintenance can get to a certain point. If they keep it internally, they can refine their plan, scheduling, their materials management pieces, so on and so forth. But to only drive operational performance so far if it's kept internal to the maintenance department only. Yep. When they want that step change, that's when they got to bring in the other groups like operations and engineering and so on and so forth.
Yep.
Now, are there any other thoughts on the maintenance management program that we didn't cover that you want to share with our listeners?
I think we covered kind of the breadth of it. Yep. I think we're good.
All right. Perfect. Now, what is the one thing you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with the program? The one thing people really need to do?
Oh, boy. I think we hit it with, you know, alignment and procedural compliance. I mean, having that standard, the alignment around that standard, I think is huge. You know, a lot of places have these systems written down. They've got, you know, some sort of SOP for how we do maintenance or reliability. And they've got the standard. They're just not following it. So I think that's the huge piece is the procedural compliance.
Yeah, and that requires a lot of organizational discipline, if you will, to adhere to that standard, to make sure people are doing it. It requires some auditing and some coaching, and that's where that leadership piece comes in. So it's definitely definitely vital, but it's oftentimes that's where
I personally
see organizations fail. Yeah, definitely hard, not easy. Now, if you had a magic wand, what is the one thing you would change in most of the maintenance management programs you see?
So the quick win, if you could call it one, for me that I see is this cycle of insanity when it comes to ineffective PMs. So I see just a ton of time that could be freed up if we weren't sinking our time into these vague, you know, PMs that have kind of grown out of control over time because we had a failure once and somebody said, you know, I never want that failure again. And so we instituted some sort of weekly check or daily check. And that just grows over time just to be, you know, an out of control, resource consuming monster. So, you know, if your program was working the way it should, these types of PMs would be flagged and fixed rather than just kind of continuing to do what we've always done. So my magic wand would say break that cycle.
Start doing some PM optimization and fixing your PM program.
Yep.
Excellent. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today?
I'd say take a good hard look at your goals and measures, you know, across departments. Really look at, you know, are you working together towards your maintenance strategy or are you kind of adversarial with some of the other departments? And then internally, what can you do to get people around, you know, an SOP or a standard and start reducing that variation, including, you know, PM optimization? I mean, that one just seems to be a quick win for a lot of the sites that I work with.
Excellent. Well, Brandon, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about the maintenance management program. But before we go, where can people find out more about you? What events are you at in the upcoming future? Any resources you want to share? Anything like that?
Yeah. You can find out more about myself and the company that I work for, Eruditio, on our website. It is eruditio.com. You can also email me at bweil@eruditio.com, which is bweil@eruditio. I'm very involved with the Society for Maintenance Reliability Professionals, SMRP, specifically the conference committee. So if you want to learn more about these types of topics, the annual conference is just an absolutely fantastic place to do so, you know, and also expand your professional network. This year it's going to be in Orlando, Florida, from the 22nd to the 25th. So go to the SMRP website, smrp.org, and you know, you're doing yourself a disservice if you haven't already become a member, and you just get access to a huge amount of member perks, including, you know, webinars, papers, presentations from past conferences, as well as these really good guides to the best practices.
Excellent. Well, I will make sure to include links to everything you just mentioned in the show notes, so our listeners can easily access it. But once again, thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about a maintenance management program. It's truly appreciated by myself and the listeners. So thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me, James. Appreciate it.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.